The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Roma. Smith and Petrie, remaining on Brownlow Wilton's yacht, the Silver Heels, are locked in a cabin supposedly unconscious as a result of drugged liquor, which Fadia has given them. Convinced that Smith and Petrie are disabled, Fadia proceeds to dynamite the ship. However, Smith and Petrie effect their escape in a rowboat. They leave Venice to go to Paris. Traveling in a fast car, they wind their way through a treacherous mountain pass as Fadia and an assistant attempt to stop them by hurling a boulder down a cliff into the road.
Look out, Smith! That boulder!
You all right, Petrie?
Yes, I'm... Naylor, you're bleeding.
Let's get out of this car.
Yes.
That was no accident, Petrie. That was a deliberate... Down, Petrie! There they are!
Who is it, Naylor?
I don't know. It's impossible to see clearly. Follow me, Petrie. We've got to get around this curve.
Yes. Then, a car.
Yes, two men running for it. Good work, Petrie. You got one of them.
The other one's running down the mountainside. After him, Nayland.
No time for that. Quickly, Petrie, this car. At least we'll be able to continue our journey. Our own car's useless.
Yeah.
You drive. I'll keep a lookout. There may be another trap.
Well, you were right, Nayland. Fu Manchu seems to know exactly where we are.
Look, old chap. A loudspeaker and small microphone here on the dashboard.
What the devil is that red light flashing on and off for?
I perceive, Nayland Smith, that you have gained possession of one of my cars.
What the...
Quiet, Petrie, quiet. Yes, Dr. Fu Manchu, I'm listening.
Presumably, my agent has failed in his mission. That is a pity, for Feija was one of my most trusted men. I regret having to eliminate him. Your ingenuity, Mr. Smith, is beginning to be annoying. However, I shall permit you to continue your journey.
Permit me to express my appreciation, Doctor. I shall look forward to meeting you personally in the near future.
That might occur sooner than you think, Mr. Smith. I will communicate with you again upon your return to London. And let me assure you, I anticipate a personal meeting with considerable pleasure.
We've been back in London several days, and Fu Manchu seems to have disappeared completely.
I've combed Paris from one end to the other, and I couldn't find a trace of Coriani or Ardata.
I know, Kerrigan. You've done your best.
I wonder how the press managed to hush up the tragic death of Adlon in Venice.
Yes, that was difficult. But Rudolf Adlon's visit to Venice was a secret one, so it was impossible for his government to admit that he died there.
But what did they do, Smith?
Well, when it became necessary to admit his death to a public that had looked up to him as a god, they were told he died in his bed.
But what about the newspapers, Nayland?
They're controlled by Adlon's government, Petrie. It was done very efficiently. Physicians first issued false bulletins and then the final news of his death.
Edlin's funeral was supposed to take place today, Smith.
Yes, and for several days, mourning millions have filed past a guarded dummy lying in state.
What's that noise, Leland?
It's coming from the television set.
The lights, they're growing dim.
Remember, Petrie? He told us he'd communicate with me on my return to London.
You would oblige me, Mr. Smith, if you would draw the shade. I fear the sunlight would seriously interfere with something I am about to show you.
Draw the shades, Kerrigan.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Now, if you will please press the red button on the left side of the television screen.
Lord, what is it?
It's the funeral of Rudolf Edlund.
I've never seen such splendor.
Bodies lying in state in front of the old castle surrounded by grim-faced troops.
Yes, look at the thousands of people.
And to think they're paying tribute to a dummy.
You mean...
Quiet, Kerrigan. The man on the platform's about to speak. Adlon's death makes him the biggest man in his country. That's General Diesler.
Men and women of a great nation, we are assembled here to pay tribute to the greatest men the world has ever known, Rudolf Edlund. He has guarded the destinies of our beloved country through years of storm and strife. And now he has finished his work. But do not despair, my people. His spirit is alive today. I, in my humble way, will try to carry on his great work. My first duty will be to deal with our enemies as he would have done. We have suffered a great loss. There's a fiendish enemy, by you unsuspected, in our very midst.
Good Lord, falling. Someone has shot him.
Yes, Petrie. That's Fu Manchu's work.
You are indeed right in your assumption, Mr. Smith. As you have witnessed, General Diesler, too, has heard the drums of Fu Manchu.
Smith.
Oh, hello, Kerrigan. Smith will be here presently. He's called to Scotland Yard. You can imagine how busy he is after what happened at Adlon's funeral yesterday.
Oh. Hello, Petrie. Oh, glad you came over, Kerrigan.
Well, Nayland?
The work of the Sea Fan carries on, Petrie.
But what have you found out, Smith?
As you know, according to Fu Manchu, there were 15 men in the world today who could cause war. Dr. Jasper and Monogany complied with the Sea Fan's instructions. General Kinto, Brownlow Wilton, Rudolf Adlon, and now General Diesler have been murdered. That eliminates six.
Did you find out who killed Diesler, Smith?
Yes. A shot was fired from the top of a cathedral spire, 3,500 yards away.
Well, that's impossible.
The rifle was fitted with a telescopic lens and a Jasper vacuum charger.
Nayland, how do
you... You see, Petrie, Dr. Fu has already made use of that valuable invention, thanks to the work of his daughter, Coriani.
Who was the killer, Smith?
None other than Baron Trenck, the millionaire publisher, ruined and exiled by Adlon.
I've heard of him. He's supposed to be one of the finest big game shots in Europe.
Yes, Petrie. In spite of the efforts of the police who placed the Baron under arrest, the infuriated mob practically tore him to pieces. Yes? Yes, Weymouth? Oh, I'll come at once. Come along, Petrie. We'll grab a cab at the corner. You stay here, Kerrigan.
Sir?
Scotland Yard, and hurry.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what happened, but Weymouth seems to be rather excited.
Why did you ask Kerrigan to remain in your flat, Neil?
Frankly, Petrie, I don't dare leave the television set unattended. After all, it seems to be the only form of communication we have with the Honorable Doctor.
I still want to know where he's broadcasting from.
Yes, so do I. It's up. That he must have been at a close point of observation to project Adlon's funeral.
Yes. Of course, his scientific mind is amazing. This television set is perhaps 50 years ahead of our time.
You're quite right. Hello, I say. Stop a minute, will you?
What's up, Nayland?
See that man just getting into that cab?
By Jove, Nayland. That's Lopez, the man that directed operations on the yacht Silver Heel.
Yes, this is lucky. Follow that car, cabbie.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps he'll lead us to Fu Manchu.
Well, wherever he goes, Nayland, we must lose him.
We're not going to. Anyway, the fellow's presence in London confirms my suspicion.
In what way, Nayland?
Well, I suspected the launch he and his crew left the Silver Heels in was picked up by another boat standing by in the vicinity of the explosion. And I'm sure that after the unsuccessful attempt to kill us on the road to Paris, Fu Manchu transferred his base of operations back to London.
That means that his next move will be in or near London.
Oh, not necessarily, Petrie. We might compare the doctor with an octopus, whose tentacles reach in many directions. Oh, his cab is pulling up. Stop!
He's getting out, walking toward that house. I wonder what's in that portfolio he's carrying.
I don't know, but I intend to find out.
Ah, there, the butler's admitting him.
Petrie, do you realize who lives in that house?
No, no.
Why, Lord Wymer, the banker.
Well, I don't understand what...
I'm beginning to understand, Petrie. Now, listen. I want you to do exactly as I tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
Go back to your flat and remain there.
But I...
Call my flat and tell Kerrigan to return to his quarters. Under no circumstances must either of you make a move until you hear from me. Is that clear?
Perfect.
Very well. As soon as I leave this cab, you must go on.
But what are you going to do, Nayland?
I'm going to pay a visit to Lord Wymer.
You know him?
Yes, but he won't know anything about this visit. That is, if I can help it.
Oh, for heaven's sake, be careful, Nayland. His cab's still waiting there. It's possible he might have left someone to watch, you know.
Yes, I see. Now, listen, cabbie.
Yes, sir?
Drive past that cab and turn at the next corner. Then slow down for a moment. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
All right, Petrie. Remember, don't make a move until you hear from me. Slow down, driver.
I do, Nayland.
And instruct Kerrigan. Cheerio.
Yes, Pidja. The council is displeased with your work. You have failed. I do not permit my servants to fail. Therefore, you will be punished.
Master, I tried my best.
Be silent. You have delivered the portfolio to its destination.
Yes, master. I hear.
It is well. I shall consider the form of punishment you will be subjected to. Ah, the light flashes. That is the Honorable Ming Toy communicating with me. Wait, Pidja. Ming Toy, you will report to me in person immediately. I myself shall direct operations. The paper containing the list must be recovered.
Oh, Master...
You see, Fedja, you fool. You have blundered again, and this time there will be retribution. I have been lenient, Fedja, but you have forfeited your right to live.
The bombs. No, no, not that, Master, not that!
Si Fan and I, Fu Manchu, are just...
Shadow of Fu Manchu.